Blockchain is not Bitcoin. Blockchain is the technology under the hood for digital currencies and so much more. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with an organizer for one of the first and biggest tech conferences about blockchain. And that interview is now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. Let's make a distinction because there is a difference. All Bitcoin is blockchain. Not all blockchain is Bitcoin. Blockchain is a technology, just like the internet is a technology. Products are built on top of blockchain, just like anyone can build a website on the internet. Blockchain has the potential, though, to be as momentous a tech as the internet itself, or maybe even the wheel. But let's start with the example of the field of accounting.
In terms of basic accounting for your mom, it's simply an accounting ledger that is transparent and open that anybody can see. But it solves for the double entry or double counting problem that we've been using since the 1400s under the de' Medici's bank in Italy.
So blockchain is rebooting an entire economic field after 600 years of it being useful. Now, San Francisco is known for tech conferences. Have you ever tried to park in the city? But the one coming up about applying blockchain to enterprises as diverse as banks to cannabis dispensaries stands out. It's the Tulip Conference, and it's on June 7th and 8th at the Village in San Francisco. I chatted with one of the organizers about Tulip, what's provided, and how it came to be. Also, apologies to my mom for how I phrased this first question. Okay, here we go.
Keith Koo, managing partner of Guardian Insight Group and host of Silicon Valley Insider.
I want to talk to you about the Tulip Conference that's coming up because it's a new thing and we got to tee that up. But first, I'm wondering if you can help me out. Help explain to my mom what blockchain is in as few words as you can.
No, that's great. No, it's funny because the Chinese asked me the same thing, and I had my kids read in English. How would you explain this to elementary students in China?
Hey, that's perfect. Okay, lay it on me.
So the elementary school version for your mother would be if I had a class of students, 30 students, and they took a math test, and I needed the students to score each other's score, how would I as a teacher or how would I as a student have confidence that my neighbor in the classroom scored my test correctly? And how we would do that is simultaneously checking of all the tests at once so that they should all have the same, whether you missed one, you missed two, they'd all come back scored the same. That's the power of a blockchain. If you want to put it more in terms of basic accounting for your mom, it's simply an accounting ledger that is transparent and open that anybody can see.
I like it.
But it solves for the double entry or double counting problem that we've been using since the 1400s under the de' Medici's bank in Italy.
See,
and that really is it. That's as simple as it is.
That's perfect. Very well put. And you raised the best part of that answer, I think, at the end there, because the transparency of it and the accountability of it. You know, I have to say that, as you know, because you cover the same thing I do, the headlines around this have been kind of scattered for mainstream media. And I think that now we're starting to see a bit of a separation between Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and blockchain, being that blockchain is the tech that everything is built on top of.
First off, just even having this conversation between you and me for your listeners, they are now what I would say 90% ahead of anybody else who would understand Bitcoin, blockchain, or cryptocurrency. And that's a serious statement because there was so much hype up until March of this year, fear of missing out. People were just diving in blindly.
Right.
And yes, because you're asking a little bit about the Tulip Conference, the conference was built initially and aspirationally to help cut through all the hype. This isn't about cryptocurrency. It's not about ICO. It's really the transformative power of blockchain as a technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it will be permeating, much like the internet rolling through different sectors of the economy over the last few decades and moving forward, blockchain is going to do the same kind of thing. It's going to come right behind it, right?
Exactly. And that's where you and I, we don't know how old each other is, but the overused analogy is that this is like the internet in 1994. I was speaking at a large accelerators forum a couple of months back. I was on stage with president of a couple of government agencies, one a quasi-agency, and I went to answer the question first. And I think you would say the same thing, Jason. Internet 1994, or even the invention of the wheel. We haven't invented a unicycle, a bicycle, or a car yet. The gentleman on stage with me, so I won't want to really say anything else, then he took a list out of his back pocket talking about the 20 things that this technology, blockchain, will transform their industry on. But that technology, people don't understand, is really not built yet. There was a time where the internet existed, but email as a protocol wasn't standardized yet.
You're totally right. I agree with the email analogy. When it comes to Tulip, I mean, what was the thinking behind it? I mean, are you guys trying to raise awareness or normalize, or are you trying to put a bunch of nerds in a room and developers in a room and then talk to each other at a higher level?
It's all the above. So we have a two-day conference, which is your typical, to me and you, an enterprise technology conference. So think of those big Salesforce.com, Oracle world. Really, it's intended to help enterprises understand how they can adopt blockchain without thinking about it as a cryptocurrency or as an ICO.
Good.
And then there's also a two-day hackathon, and there's also a three-day developers workshop the following week. So that would be for the hardcore tech heads on how to develop this technology further.
Keith, what would you like to see people take away? You know what I mean? I'm sure you're going to have a hashtag trending, you know, during the conference. What are you hoping to see in those threads?
Well, we're hoping to see a few things, and we could talk about it for each of the stakeholders. Okay. If you know nothing about blockchain or Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, come to the conference so you know how to safely get started. We're not going to promote a certain ICO or crypto. We're going to tell you how do you start a wallet. These are things to consider. For the enterprises, there's a lot of hype. You had mentioned this on your show with Mr. Janeway, that there's a lot of hype in this space, but how do you actually get into this technology safely? And it's whether it's on your show, you talked about the government influence and chaos proxy, which I loved. Public blockchains versus permission blockchains are very different versus what sort of what you and Mr. Jane were talking about, Ripple, which is a great potential use case for interbanks, but it's not a true blockchain, and they don't like it when people say that. Right. There's going to be people who need to know how to develop on public blockchain technology. So EOS is coming out on June 2nd, and they're totally decentralized, community-backed. People have no idea how even to get started on a project. So there's a little bit of something for everyone.
Keith, is there an economic sector or maybe a category of business that is more ready for this or even preparing for it or farther ahead than others? I know that the NASDAQ is considering a blockchain market. Are financials really the ones in front of it because of all the flash trading and the day trading and things like that?
So I just went to the Barclays Techstars Finals in London. I just got back last night. And I would say this, and I come from financials myself. Financials are way ahead of the curve, but in permissioned blockchain or something akin to a Ripple. They're embracing the technology so that they can become more efficient and actually more competitive or innovative. And that might work for them if the world stays without a revolution, right?
Right.
That might be a really good strategy for them in the next 2 to 10 years.
That's a very good point.
Then the other folks who really get this are people who are embracing public blockchain, and that I think is going to be first seen in destabilized countries where fiat you cannot count on, right? And that's where the cross-border stuff happens, where I'm in Venezuela, I have no reliance on the government at all. I need to come up with my own way of securely bartering with somebody else.
That's a great point, because if you think about the mobile phone use for micropayments and microloans in emerging markets, if you have a secure technology for those transfers of funds, well, then, yeah, then you have you're basically baking in stability socially through technology.
Yeah. Look, now you're 97% of everybody else, right, Jason? Because at our conference, we're going to have Credify. Credify is one example of micro lending, micro funding on a public blockchain. EOS, whether you're a fan of EOS or not, it's community-driven. There's an analogy to the U.S. Constitution. There's constitutional law built into the chain. There's an arbitration system built into the chain. There's governance built into the chain. So the EOS will be a complete failure if nobody adopts it. But if the community is purely supporting that chain, we're going to get to see versus an Ethereum how a community can make this thing happen.
Keith, you and your cohorts have pulled together a really good-looking conference here, the Tulip Conference 2018. It's June 7th and June the 8th. And where are you? Where is it being held? The Village?
It's going to be at the Village 969 Market. The Developers Conference is going to be at another location.
What is the URL you'd like to point people to?
TulipConf.com, TulipConf.com. And you can use code SVIN for a promo. And Jason, I'd like to offer you to come for free.
Ah, well, thank you, Keith. I appreciate that. That's really close to when I'm splitting for Europe, but I'm going to try to squeeze it in because this is not just important. I think it's going to be really compelling. I'm looking forward to it. Keith, thanks a lot for your time and for putting this thing together.
Jason, thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me be on the show, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
That was Keith Koo. Keith is the Director of Partnerships and Alliances for the Tulip Blockchain Conference, and he's assembled an impressive list of keynote speakers for the conference. You can check out the show notes for this week for a link. It's at KGORadio.com, or you can go to TulipConf, TulipConf.com, and he slipped a promo code in there, too. If you didn't catch it, it's SVIN. Coming up after the break, it's a tech roundup with a veteran tech industry analyst.
Remember, they've got that internal memo floating around that said, you know, if, hey, even if terrorists use this to commit crimes, it's okay because we're about hooking people up and allowing them to connect.
Rob Enderle and I chat out Facebook, Elon Musk, and data privacy next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.